Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. On 95.7, The Game.
Come on!
Yes, sir. Good morning, family. Stephen Langford and on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading you up until 6 o'clock this morning. Then Kozlo and Dibs will take you to start the day. Today, a majority of it, we're going to go 49ers because we're finally here where Tuesdays and Wednesdays are the least stressful days of the week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all stress. Whether it's fantasy football, whether it's worrying about your team and what they're going to do over the weekend, it's unnecessary stress. It is stress that I don't need on my life because human beings shouldn't care this much about a fantasy football team, but only one of my three teams won after yesterday. Thought I was going to get 2 of 3. Didn't work out. Now, the relaxation period. We wait Tuesday, Wednesday, as we stroll into the weekend, and then we get things moving. Good morning, everyone. So today for the 49ers, want to talk about the wide receiver position. Kyle Shanahan gave some updates yesterday. We're going to get to that that sound pretty quick here. Jerry Rice was on the station. He was awesome. Want to play a clip for you. And he talked about the wide receivers and why he was so frustrated with them. We got some sound from Michael Irvin and everything coming up today. So a majority of it, want to talk about, look, got to put that Cardinals game in the past. You know, you could look at it and maybe draw some things from it, but it's week one. We really don't know anything right now as far as the NFL. We don't know until really maybe week four, week five. That's when teams really start to get their identity and you start to think, oh, okay, so that offense is actually good. Oh, that Tampa Bay, they're actually not that great with Tom Brady. Oh, okay. We really don't know that yet. We won't know that until 4 weeks ahead of time. But the 49ers do have the Jets coming up, and that's going to be an easy matchup, I think. But anyway, that's besides the point. Speaking of which, I want to get to this outside of the Bay Area local news story from New York. And this is from WHAM in Rochester. And there is a Bills fan who had a New York Jets fan move in next door. And really, if you have a neighbor who happens to be a fan of a team that might be your rival, I don't know if you would go this far as to paint your house in Bills colors and put the big Bills logo on the side of the house, but this man did that. Listen to the sound here. This is courtesy of WHAM in Rochester.
Driving down State Route 444 in Bloomfield, there's something new that might catch your attention.
Oh, the horns are beeping and everybody's like, yeah, that looks great.
Michael Mansfield has been a Buffalo Bills fan all his life. A few years back, when a new neighbor moved in, it started some friendly competition between the two.
My neighbor moved in, and he put up a New York Jets flag, and it was on after that.
Still a Jets fan. We're still going to go back and forth with each other.
So this summer, Mansfield decided to take on a project, repainting his home in red, white, and blue in support of his favorite team.
Now it needed to be painted again, so it's on, and the blue is great, and I love the colors. And
didn't think he was actually going to do it like this, but it looks good, and we'll have to find something else to do now.
Whether the friendly competition continues or not, Mansfield's love for Buffalo remains strong. And when asked if the outside noise will quiet down, Mansfield says,
"It probably won't. I'm hoping it doesn't stop until we win the Super Bowl."
The Bills get their win over the Jets. But listen to that at the end. This man knows, look, he's an older gentleman. He's seen what the Bills can do in the Super Bowl. He has seen what happens. Listen to this confidence at the end of this Bills fan.
"I'm hoping it doesn't stop until we win the Super Bowl."
And if you watch the video right at the end, he doesn't look very confident that the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. Anyway, I just saw that video this morning. Thought it was hilarious. Can't believe he actually painted the entire Bills logo on the side of his house along with the Bills colors. Super random. Super great as we get your Tuesday morning started. So Kyle Shanahan, he spoke yesterday with the media. And real quick, he just wanted to give an update on George Kittle. And personally, I'm not worried.
He has a knee sprain. We'll see how he comes in on Wednesday. You know, he was a little sore today. But we'll wait to see how he is on Wednesday to see if he's able to practice or how he'll be able to go this week. We know there'll be some question.
Now, we need to remember who George Kittle is and what he did last season against the Saints. The Saints game was the one that solidified him as the top tight end in the league. At least one of those guys where you could argue, and you'd have a good argument, that he's better than Travis Kelce because of what he did at the end of that Saints game and even at the beginning of that Saints game as well. And what happened earlier in the season was that he had a bone chip in his ankle. This man was playing with a chipped bone, and he was fine. If there's a little bit of soreness in his leg after suffering what they called a sprain, I think that he would be fine to go next Sunday against the Jets as they travel to New York. I'm not worried about George Kittle at all. He's one of those players who I'm not necessarily going to look at him and say, "Oh, he's injury prone. He shouldn't play if he's not fully 100%. He's proven that he can play when he's not 100%. It's just they're not going to have any of those risky screen passes where Jimmy Garoppolo can possibly throw it high and the guys can tackle his legs. This is going to be an issue going forward, though, because when you're looking at that Saints game and you're looking at what happened on fourth down, the reason that the safety couldn't make the tackle is because he went up high. And that's kind of the first mistake you have with George Kittle. You got to go to the middle. You got to go to the middle and then just hope that other players follow you and let them drag you, because you're not going to be able to tackle George Kittle just straight off top. But guys are going to be going a little lower, and the risk of this knee injury getting aggravated, it is a little higher going into the season now that guys have realized you can't go up top on this guy. You just can't, or else you're not going to bring him down. So looking forward to what George Kittle does on Sunday. I think the Jets' pass defense is not very good. Their run defense is actually not terrible. So I could see the 49ers kind of going away from the run and going more toward the pass in this game. Speaking of which, Deebo Samuel, Kyle Shanahan gave us an update, and they're hoping to get him back by week 4, and that's against the Eagles. He apparently had some soreness in practice, and he wasn't looking too great with that Jones fracture. But so Deebo Samuel, we don't know what's going to happen with him. They're hoping to get him back in week 4. He was clearly missed in week 1, and they, you know, and I'm going to play this sound from Kyle Shanahan, and they've had Mohamed Sanu on their radar for quite a bit. And I like the idea of bringing in Mohamed Sanu because he used to play with Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan can scheme him up in ways that it's not going to be confusing for Mohamed Sanu just to start with the team and get going, because he understands Kyle Shanahan and what he wants to do. However, there is something to the fact that the Patriots didn't have any wide receivers last season. That's partially why we think Tom Brady didn't have that good of a year. But also, he was already playing with Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick clearly didn't think that Mohamed Sanu had it to stay on the team. Whether it be breaking off his routes and getting away from the cornerback, whether it be beating guys one-on-one, his foot speed might not be all there. There's a reason that nobody's picked him up yet, and there's a reason why Bill Belichick let him go on a team that didn't have much of a wide receiver core. The Patriots could have won that game by a larger margin against the Dolphins if they could actually get the ball to the receivers. Cam Newton looked great running the football, but passing the football, they could have looked a little better, and they designed their offense so they don't have to pass the ball as much. But I do think there is some caution there when you're thinking about, oh yeah, just go and sign Sanu, that's going to be the number one receiver until Deebo Samuel gets back. I don't know about that. And also, Brandon Ayuk, seeing the showing that these wide receivers had, whether it be Jerry Jeudy last night on the Broncos, he looked pretty good. Henry Ruggs on the Raiders, Henry Ruggs looked really good. We didn't see Denzel Mims at all. You saw Michael Pittman Jr. make a couple of catches. Look, if Brandon Ayuk, I think the pressure on Brandon Ayuk has elevated that much more since he is a wide receiver already, and we're watching all these rookie wide receivers from the first round and even the later rounds get on the field and do something. So I think the pressure on him has kind of elevated now, even though he's just a rookie. But Kyle Shanahan, he spoke about the wide receivers from this last game and the issues that they had.
From a separation standpoint, they did pretty good. I mean, from what the coverage they were doing and part of our game plan, I mean, they didn't get a ton of opportunities. But when they did, I mean, when we went to Bourne, he was open and made the plays. You know, I think we went to Trent twice. I think he caught one, and the second one, the ball's a little bit behind him. Dante got open down the field, but didn't get there. You know, the time we didn't use him a ton, but when they did their job.
And Kyle Shanahan continued and talked about the final two plays on that last drive.
They weren't perfect passes. I mean, he did get by him, and you guys all saw it. It would have been nice, I think, if Bourne would have gone up for it. I think he would have got the PI, so that's something he'll learn from that because he did get him, and it didn't look like Pat was going to be able to get to it, but I think it ended up hitting his hand. And I think if Bourne jumps up and goes for it, we'll end up getting the PI. And then the one to Trent, you know, their timing was a little bit off on it. He did a little extra move at the top, and Jimmy hesitated just a little bit and tried to recover with his arm and left a little bit behind him. So just got to get better there with throwing and catching.
That's an interesting one. Mentioning that Kendrick Bourne could have gone up and gotten the PI on that call. No one mentioned that. We were so focused on Jimmy Garoppolo. By the way, coming up in the next segment, there's a couple of guys listed on Pro Football Focus and the way their grades were out. There's one that might not give you too much hope, but there's one that would, even though you didn't really see it on the screen. But I didn't see anyone given that take of Kendrick Bourne. If he would have got up, he would have gotten the PI. If he would have gotten the PI, who knows if we'd be looking at Jimmy Garoppolo the same way this week. We would have said, yeah, he missed some throws, but he still won the game for him. Who knows? Who knows, right? But I do think that this last game for Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know if it's going to be that way going forward in week two. I really don't. It could change week to week. And their lack of wide receivers right now doesn't give me too much faith. But also, Jimmy Garoppolo, I've seen him switch it on when everyone's doubted him before. So week two could be looking totally different. Kyle Shanahan did speak about the defense as well. I just want to play that clip real quick for you and give you an update on the players that they worked out from yesterday.
Just how many opportunities we gave them just as a team, not just defense, but you know, I thought our defense played pretty well. You know, I think we broke down there at the end, which, you know, and I thought we had a chance to run away with it early, and we didn't make a couple plays on offense that I thought we could have made, and we kind of let them hang around, especially when they got that blocked punt, which got them back into it. But after their two missed field goals, I thought we had a chance to take over again, and we really didn't on offense. So to keep watching the defensive film where they kept having to go out there series after series and it being 13-10 for so long, that was disappointing to put them in that situation. But once the offense did score and got up on it, you know, we kind of needed them to answer, and that's when they got real tired. You know, I think we held them backed up That drive was kept alive with a penalty. The one he got out of the pocket just a little bit was close to getting that safety, but they had a holding on the backside, which it is what it is. You know, wasn't part of the play, but, you know, letter of the law, that could go either way. So that kept a drive open. I think they had about three penalties that kept some drives going, which, I mean, those are calls that are part of football. And by that time, I think we broke down. We missed a couple. They went no huddle a ton, which is, it's a little frustrating with no crowd noise, you know, and they did a couple things at the last second and we didn't communicate it out to the corners quick enough. And I had a couple busted coverages in there that had some big plays too. Besides that, they played a pretty clean game. But when you leave that quarterback out there for that long, you give him that many opportunities, you give him 80 plays, he's bound to make some, and he did a lot there in the fourth.
And you heard that, blown coverages and miscommunication. They brought in a few players for a workout yesterday. Who are those players? We'll discuss coming up next, plus Pro Football Focus. They did their gradings yesterday, and a couple of players stood out. One very popular, one who you wouldn't think graded high, but he did. That's all coming up. Stephen Langford and on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
AAA 957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line. Please weigh in on how you're feeling now that you're a day removed from all of the Monday overreactions. I get that. You come in on Monday, you come out firing, you might not say what you mean. You have a day to think about it, and maybe it's in your takes just, it wasn't reasonable. And that's fine. That's fine. I have a ton that I put out every single day here on the pregame show from 5 to 6, Monday through Friday. Sometimes on Saturdays whenever I go 10 to 2 with John Dickinson or Ryan Covey. So it's okay if you had those, if you've had those. Are there any of those that you have right now? 888-957-9570. Overreactions from yesterday that you've maybe calmed down a little bit from after some digestion and a day to actually think about it and a day to listen to 95.7 The Game and to hear the kind of similar thoughts that you might have had. And maybe someone would talk you off the ledge. Maybe if you were panicking about the 49ers for some reason. By the way, power rankings are out. It's power ranking season, baby. And the 49ers are number 6 in the league. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything after week 1. Don't know what it means. Power rankings? I mean, if they wanted to put the 49ers right now, if you're just basing it solely off of one game and you don't want to use any of the team's prior history, you don't want to look at their roster, and you're just looking at one game, they would probably be in the bottom half right now as far as how teams performed in week 1. So right now they're at number 6, meaning, look, week 2, they're going up against the Jets. They're going up against the Giants. Those are very easily winnable games. The Steelers yesterday getting the win over the New York Giants. I mean, if you saw that offensive line and what the Steelers did to that New York offensive line, which they haven't fixed, by the way. They don't care about Saquon Barkley. They're going to give Saquon 300 carries in this season with a bad offensive line. Now, I don't know if there's a, to be honest, I haven't focused on that closely. I don't know whether they could have some linemen that are hurt, much like the Eagles did against the Washington football team when Washington put up 8 sacks against the Eagles. The Eagles had a bunch of guys who were hurt. So we'll see if Washington can continue that next week and see if that defensive line is for real. But that New York Giants offensive line was a sieve yesterday and just letting the Steelers do whatever they want. And the Titans and the Broncos, that matchup didn't really interest me that much. I mean, you know, you got Drew Lock, you got Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's fun to watch. Maybe see if Ryan Tannehill is worth that gigantic contract that they gave him. But that game didn't leave me much to give me much intrigue, to be honest. I wasn't too fully invested in that one game. But I think that with the Giants coming up in week 3, it doesn't look like they've turned a corner. Daniel Jones is going to drop a dime every now and then, but also he's going to throw a terrible interception. Before I get to the 49ers and their workouts from yesterday, they worked out. There's one specific player that might catch your eye or your ear, whatever you're using for radio. But there is one thing that we forgot about on Sunday that went under the radar. Not only did the Nuggets force a Game 7 for the Clippers, and tonight we're going to have Game 1 of the Heat and Celtics, and then Game 7 of the Nuggets and the Clippers. So really looking forward to that. It's going to be a fun night of playoff basketball. Tuesday, Wednesday, you get that time to unwind from NFL for a little bit. Maybe set your fantasy lineups, get it ready for Thursday, see if you want to play that guy on Thursday night, whatever. But something that happened on Sunday, now I promised on this pregame show, if you've been listening for a while, this is one of my favorite just athletes in sports of all time, and that's one Albert Pujols. The contract that he got with the Angels, not too great. They have to still hold on to him for a couple of more seasons as it just looks like it's tough trying to run for him. But Albert Pujols is setting milestones, and finally, we've been keeping track of this. I've been waiting for this to happen, and he finally did it. It just so happened to come on Sunday, but Albert Pujols tied Willie Mays on the all-time home run list.
Albert skying one down the left field line, hit well. He's watching this one go. That is gone. Big fly number 660 for Albert Pujols. He has just now tied Willie Mays on the all-time home run list.
Doing that at a time when he was a rookie, as all these home run hitters are coming up, the steroid era is in full swing. No pun intended. And Albert Pujols is there in 2001, comes up with the Cardinals, and he's just this freakish athlete who hits with power, can play first base. And look, he's been one of my favorite athletes because he's one of those guys where, you know, Charles Barkley is famous for saying that, he's famous for a lot of things, obviously. But one of the things that he said was, look, as an athlete, I'm not a role model. You know, don't look up to me. You can look up to some of these other guys, but don't look up to me. And those other guys that he was talking about were guys like Albert Pujols, who never caused trouble with any team. He's always been, I think, a guy where, you know, unless he's a Cardinal, unless he's, you know, going to PNC to play the Pirates, I don't know, whoever the Cardinals' rival is, but he's always been a guy that other fans cheer for. So seeing him actually tie Willie Mays for 660, man, baseball needs to do something if he hits 661. Because baseball's really good at cherishing their stars. I mean, we had an entire year to say goodbye to Derek Jeter. You know, we had a terrific send-off for Mariano Rivera and what he did with the Yankees. But Albert Pujols is a legendary player. I don't care what these last 4 or 5 years have looked like. He hasn't looked like the same Albert Pujols, but I just think going for 660, I did not want that to go under the radar to sports fans, because that is a hell of an accomplishment for Albert Pujols and the LA Angels. So players that the 49ers worked out. Now, some of these names you might not know, one of which you will. And this guy was already on their radar earlier this year when Deion Jordan was reportedly working out with the team, along with this guy in Ziggy Ansah. You may know him as the pass rusher from the Lions, and the Lions didn't do much, and they released him a little bit ago. But that's just going to put another pass rusher up there for you. Ziggy Ansah, I think they could add to the team. It's just a question of what they do with the roster. And if they add him or not, they'd probably have to shake a few things up. But they're also working out Tino Ellis, Marquise Bridges, Christian Angulo, and Brian Allen. So you're getting some guys who, an undrafted free agent, a fifth-round pick of the Steelers in 2017. Allen was recently with the Bills, and that's four cornerbacks. And I don't know if that says anything about what their secondary does. We've been focusing so much on the wide receiver and the lack of wide receiver depth, And again, you may think that they need Mohamed Sanu, and it'd be a good addition, but it's not going to be a situation where if you're in a you're not going to be facing this against the Giants or Jets, I don't think. But if you're in a situation where you got to drive down the field in the fourth quarter in the final moments of the game, I don't know if Mohamed Sanu is going to be that number one option that you'll want to go to. Because we were calling for Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the ball to Jordan Reed on that last drive. To Jordan Reed, a guy who hasn't played a couple of years and has had seven concussions in his career. He's very good, but also just putting the ball in the hands of these veteran wide receivers, tight ends, it's not as easy as it may seem. But we just got the update that Deebo Samuel possibly out until week four. They're hoping to get him back against the Eagles as he had some soreness during his workouts earlier this week. And if I'm not mistaken, I think John Lynch had a doctor's summit where he just brought in a team of doctors and they were discussing whether they should have Deebo ready for week one. And lo and behold, they put him on IR for the 3 weeks. There was a little bit of soreness when he ran on it. Now he's possibly out till week four or later. So that all remains to be seen. But just a quick update, they did work out four cornerbacks as well as Ziggy Ansah, who can be a pretty formidable pass rusher if he is on. Okay, coming up next, you're going to hear from Jerry Rice. Now, you may have heard Jerry on the morning show yesterday with Kozlow and Dibs, but he was terrific. And I've never heard him, because the 49ers, we had him on last year, and the 49ers were so good that there was nothing really but positivity that he could talk about. He was very excited for the team. This game against the Cardinals and something the wide receivers did, it kind of made him a little angry. So we're going to play that clip for you coming up next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Come on, everybody. Let's all get down at 5:30 in the morning on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. Stephen Langford in with you up until 6 o'clock. Then Kozlow and Dibs are going to take you to start your day. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Going to get to this sound from Jerry Rice. He was on the morning show yesterday, and he was fantastic. But I do have an issue with something that happened yesterday, and this is within the A's doubleheader. Look, what are we doing letting them play in the air quality that they played in yesterday? Yeah, we were so focused on football that when we saw the 49ers might not play due to bad air quality, then we were thinking, oh, snap, okay. So if it's at 200, then they're not going to play. Okay, we get that. And that makes sense. And it was under 200, so they went out to play and they deemed it safe. But yesterday, the A's had their doubleheader, and it was one of their these seven-inning games. I'm getting incredibly tired of all these seven-inning games right now and these doubleheaders. It's just when you really add it all up, how many did the A's have? Around six after they had their postponements? They had six doubleheaders to go. If you think about it, that's 12 innings just shaved off of the season, 12 innings that they can't get back. So I just don't like that. And in the first game yesterday, now the second game, they just crushed the Mariners, just crushed them, as they should, because the Mariners aren't a very good team, and the A's are a very good team, who this year hopefully can go deep into the playoffs. But when they weren't even consulted about playing yesterday, and they're not supposed to play an air quality that's above 200, and they found out afterwards that the air quality was upwards of 250, 260, even 280, I think I saw in one tweet. What are we doing? I know that the season's important and they can't push a doubleheader because that would just cause another doubleheader, and it's just, and it's tough for the MLB to really change their season up again as they've had to do so many times this year. It's crazy to think of where we're at now after everything that happened with the Miami Marlins. But anyway, that's besides the point. These guys' health is way more important. And when Jesus Luzardo, a young guy, younger than I am, saying he can't breathe when he's out on the mound, they shouldn't be out there playing. And hopefully everyone is staying safe in that air quality, because that's just awful. And hope you are all staying safe as well. I know I've been affected by it a little bit. That's why I was out the past couple of days on Thursday and Friday, to be perfectly honest. So hearing that they made the A's go and play a doubleheader out in that air quality, something that bugged me about that. And I think that it should bother you as well. And I mean, they went 1-1 yesterday, and it was great watching that second game, but they shouldn't have been playing in that bad air quality. They shouldn't have. And I don't know if they're going to find an alternate site. Like, I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. But that was just something that irked me a little bit after hearing Bob Melvin's comments in his postgame saying that they weren't even consulted about it. That's unbelievable. You just can't. That can't happen. I don't have the power. I'm just here with a microphone at 5:40 in the morning. But it's also something that I think that a lot of people would share the same sentiment of. Hey, if the air quality is if the air quality is above 200, then they shouldn't play. I think a lot would agree with that. 888-957-9570. That's the Chilton Auto Body text line. I want you to weigh in. Now, Jerry Rice was on the morning show yesterday, and he was great. He was from the 925. We need a five-inning tripleheader. that'll give you an extra. That'll give you an extra inning, I guess. No, it's like, oh man, a five-inning tripleheader. Let's just play. You know what? Let's just play three innings, and that's it. Let's just change up every single rule in baseball. We'll play. They'll play a five-inning triple-header. They'll start out with the runner on second. There's going to be a one-batter minimum instead of a three-batter minimum, so they could just change pitchers whenever. Five-inning. They might have to do something crazy if they would have canceled that game, but they should have. They should have canceled those two games. You can't just be putting guys out there, sacrificing their health, young people, and the air that they breathe. This is air we're talking about. Air. You remember Spaceballs? Air. 888-957-9570, as I got sidetracked there. But Jerry Rice was on the morning show yesterday, and he was great. You know, he was on all of last season. He was terrific then because he had so many good things to say about the 49ers and what they were doing. And he gave a sense of relief to a lot of 49er fans who might have been skeptical about the entire thing at the beginning of last year. But Jerry Rice was on with the morning show yesterday, and he wasn't too thrilled with the performance from the wide receivers. I want to play this clip for you. It's about 6 minutes. And I want you to text in on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570. And if you already know what Jerry Rice said, then feel free to weigh in. But I just want to know, do you agree with what Jerry Rice is saying here in this 6 minute clip? Because he goes through a lot, and it goes by fast because of what he's saying. Here's Jerry Rice from yesterday on the morning show.
How weird was it being in the stadium and not having there be fans? And how much do you think that affected the 49ers maybe in their ability to get up for that game?
Now, you know what, guys? We got to stop using that as an excuse. We are paid professionals. This is what we do for our livelihood. Yes, we miss the fans. We would love for the fans to be in the stands. But if you cannot get up for a game against an opponent,
right,
in your stadium, I got a problem with that. You know, and these are some of the scenarios that really going to have to be addressed in the locker room. These are paid professionals. We can't use that as an excuse. Yes, we love the fans. We love for the fans to be in the stands. But when there's an opponent on the other side, we got to go to battle. And that's right. The bottom line.
No question, Jerry. Well said. And I think that, you know, when you think about fans, I think they help, you know, far as distracting other teams, possibly jumping offside, the crowd noise, it helps not getting the signals in. But you're right. When you line up, though, and it's mano a mano, you got to find a way to win. And then the Niners yesterday, it was just they had opportunities, but they squandered those opportunities. What was the X factor? If you look at those two teams, what position to you stood out that was the X factor between Niners and Arizona?
Hopkins. I mean, this guy, you know, I think this was like his eighth time, you know, over 150 yards, you know, throughout his career. He even broke, I think he broke Larry Fitzgerald record of 14 catches, and I think Larry had 13. I mean,
yeah.
Also, you got to look at Murray, what he did. I think he had about, you know, 230 yards, and also he ran for 91 yards. He was just like a little kid just running out there. We had nobody that could get to him. And I don't know if that's because I don't know if it's because no preseason games or anything like that. You notice a lot of players are getting hurt, a lot of hamstrings, a lot of that is happening. I think these players are not at the level where they need to be right now. And you know, during training camp, yeah, you know, you train a certain way, you do everything, but then you also need those ball games.
Right.
You know, to set the tempo and stuff like that, you know, those preseason games. And we didn't have any of those, and I think we're seeing a lot of injuries. But
Jerry,
you look at those guys, you look at Murray, you look at Hopkins, and Jimmy G had, you know, he threw for two touchdowns, but he missed a lot of opportunities. Then you had Kittle to get hurt. And, man, it's like, you know, we got guys dropping like flies. But still, there's a standard. Next guy up, got to step in, and got to make plays to help the Niners to win.
Jerry, when you see a play, you and Montana, you and Young, whoever it may have been, do you think that's just Jimmy not trusting the receivers not trusting Jimmy? Well, I know the receivers trust Jimmy, but or is it just the timing? He's just rusty. When you see a corner and he's flat-footed, especially when you get ready to do the double move, you got him, you set him down. Montana, the ball's already in there. Young, the ball's in there.
Right.
When you set a guy down, you used to set him down at double move, and they step their feet's in quicksand. It's over. Why didn't Jimmy just turn the ball loose? Was that just timing, or is he not trusting the receiver? That should have been a walk-in.
You know, I think repetition is everything. Getting to know each other and all of that. You know. Now, say if Deebo Samuel had been in the game, you know, those two guys, Jim and G, they have worked together and they have gotten to know each other. They know body language, all of that. So you got to be able to trust your guy. And the receivers that they had out there, you know, I think Kendrick Bourne, you know, he got a lot of rep last year. But the other guys, you know, just young guys. So maybe that was it. I think the thing is, though, when you are – as a receiver, you got to run your routes. And maybe it was that the receivers, they weren't getting the separation that they needed, where Jimmy G had to hold on to the ball just a little bit more. And I know everybody's going to point the finger at Jimmy G, but, you know, as a group, you got to look at each other. Individual group, you got to look at each other and say, hey, look, what can we do to get better and to help this team to win? And you know, nobody played a great game yesterday. No one. You cannot point your finger anywhere and say, hey, look, we played well. You know, you look at defense. You know, they weren't able to get to Murray. They weren't able to stop Hopkins, all of that. So offense, we had a lot of missed opportunities. We had receivers that probably that really didn't get separation like they wanted, where Jimmy G had to hold on to the ball, errant throws, all of that. So everyone is to blame here. And they just have to go back. They look at that film. They break down that film, and they be critical on themselves. Because yesterday, for me, you know, I was embarrassed about the play that was happening on that football field. Now, with the Niners coming back up, you know, I think they have the Jets coming up. You know, they got, you know, they got to go back, look at that film, practice hard this week, get ready for the Jets, and try to get a victory.
And this is the, I think, and I'm not going to go as far as to say instantly, you know, they made a mistake in not keeping Emmanuel Sanders, because Emmanuel Sanders would have been expensive. At least a little more expensive, I think, than they would have liked to pay. They already had to restructure a bunch of contracts toward the end. We can't forget that if they wanted to keep Sanders, then he would have cost a little pretty penny. Who knows if they would have been able to re-sign Jimmy Ward? There's a lot that went into that decision. Of course, they would have liked to have kept Emmanuel Sanders because of his veteran presence, and that's the guy. I mean, I'm sure he encouraged it last year because they already had that culture of dancing, you know? And I want to know from the Chilton Auto Body text line or the phone number, 888-957-9570, do you agree with Jerry and his assessment on the wide receivers? Essentially, he said that he saw one player, he didn't mention who, dancing on the sideline when he hadn't done anything. Do you agree with that? Because that's sort of the old school way of thinking, and some of these guys, you've been seeing it all over for the past 10 years or so. These guys dance just to get themselves hyped up. That could have been what they were doing. But do you agree with that? 888-957-9570. And from the 707, Pettis needs to go. He'd rather be on Dancing with the Stars. From the 925, I wonder who he was talking about dancing on the sideline, especially with that player not making any plays. And I just don't want to go so far as to say, yeah, of course they would have liked to have kept Emmanuel Sanders, but they do need that. That just shows that every locker room kind of needs that veteran presence there. And one mention of that was Kyle Shanahan, what he brought up yesterday in the Monday press conference, the Monday after the game. They have a day of digestion and they can watch film so they can give you the proper analysis on the game. But here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say on the wide receivers.
From a separation standpoint, they did pretty good. I mean, from what the coverage they were doing and part of our game plan, I mean, they didn't get a ton of opportunities. But when they did, I mean, when we went to Bourne, he was open and made the plays. You know, I think we went to Trent twice. I think he caught one, and the second one, the ball's a little bit behind him. Dante got open down the field, but didn't get there. You know, the time we didn't use him a ton, but when they did their job.
Now, they worked out four different corners and Ziggy Ansah. Now, I think that what DeAndre Hopkins did, the 14 receptions for over 150 yards, I think that if they're working out four cornerbacks, that says something about how he views their secondary right now, because it didn't look too great. They were running concepts, simple concepts. The one where DeAndre Hopkins got down to the one, they ran a simple mesh concept where all you do is just cross up either a wide receiver and tight end, a wide receiver and a wide receiver, or whatever the case may be. But you put them on both ends of the line in the slot, and you just cross them, and hopefully it fools the defense. And you saw that there was a bunch of miscommunication. But there isn't any movement on the wide receiver front. And I think that that's saying something. You're going up against, look, in the end, you're going up against the Jets and the Giants. Now, the Jets, their run defense, not that bad. They're ranked 16th in terms of efficiency. So they're in the middle of the pack there, not terrible. But in pass defense, they're 29th. So this wide receiver core, if they're going to go up against any, now the secondary for the Cardinals is not too bad, but if you're going to go up against any and beat them, it would be the Jets, who are in the bottom four right now as far as defense goes and efficiency. So I think that that says something. And 888-957-9570, let me see here. From the 650, work out Demaryius Thomas, Mohamed Sanu, and Antonio Brown, even Dez Bryant, get some kind of veteran receiver with that core. And then also from the 650, agree with Rice. From the 408, why not trade for Odell while you can most likely get him for cheap? He just doesn't seem happy in Cleveland. What a weird relationship that is over there in Cleveland. That is a man who, look, Jarvis Landry is like his best friend. So Jarvis Landry is probably telling him on the phone, "Hey, we got look man, we got this up and coming. We got this up and coming quarterback. You know, we got good coaching here. Freddie Kitchens is about to be the head coach. Him and Baker worked so well together in the year previous. I was getting a lot of catches. You're going to get yours too if you come over here to Cleveland." And now look what happened. It just doesn't look too great. But that's beside trading for Odell. It's tough. Odell is a tough case study because you don't know whether it's a case of the quarterback, because he's only been, it felt like he extended Eli Manning's career by being on the Giants in 2014, and now it's just completely flipped with Baker Mayfield, where it looks like Baker Mayfield is regressing Odell Beckham's career. Don't know which one it is. But also, the going back to the one from the 650, Demaryius Thomas, Mohamed Sanu, Antonio Brown, and even Dez Bryant. Look, I get the need to bring in the wide receiver, the veteran wide receiver, right? And they'd probably teach these young guys some things that they may not be thinking that Emmanuel Sanders was teaching them last year. And Mohamed Sanu would be at the top of that list because of the work that he's done with Kyle Shanahan. But you also got to – and you want that veteran – you know, you're right. You want that veteran receiver with the core. But if you're in a situation like you're in against the Cardinals again, which I don't think they're going to face against the Jets and the Giants, then you're going – You're not going to be using that veteran wide receiver as a number one option. Dez Bryant couldn't get separation toward the end of his career, and that's why he's teams haven't signed him. Antonio Brown, he retires and comes back every 2 weeks. I don't know what's going on with Antonio Brown. Demaryius Thomas, kind of the same way. He had his moments. What was his last team? I think it was with the Jets, which didn't work out with Sam Darnold. And Mohamed Sanu as well. But we got to realize that Bill Belichick released Mohamed Sanu when his team has a depleted wide receiver core. Now, you could say that they just completely changed up their offensive scheme and they're running a lot more zone reads with the quarterback, maybe running that spread offense with Cam Newton, and it just didn't work for Mohamed Sanu, in which case you have an argument there. But I also think it's because he couldn't really get that separation that Mohamed Sanu once could. It's really great to say, yeah, we could just get a veteran wide receiver. But when you're waiting for Deebo Samuel to come along in week four, that's what was updated from Kyle Shanahan yesterday. He was possibly coming back for the first 3 weeks or after 3 weeks. But week four is the target date. From the 925, I second that text. See how much it costs for OBJ. Him and Deebo can complement each other. I think the culture can fit. And look, here's the thing with these big players. Here's the thing. Anytime you mention Jamal Adams, guys like Odell Beckham, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, there's always the one playing devil's advocate, giving reasonable takes as to why you shouldn't take these guys and why you shouldn't trade for these guys. And, you know, you could probably think of 1,000 reasons for Odell Beckham for them to not try and trade for him, right? You could try and think of 1,000 reasons. But if they do it, are you really going to be complaining about what they gave up in return for him when you see what he can do on a football field? Because I still believe that OBJ is very good. You know, and the knock on the Seahawks the entire time, the knock on the Seahawks the entire offseason was that they gave up too much for Jamal Adams. Okay, that's fine when you're looking at it 3 years down the road, but look at what they're doing right now. The Falcons defense, they were meant to feast on them, but that offense, not terrible. They still got Matt Ryan. They still got Julio Jones who can hurt you. And Jamal Adams was all over the field for the Seahawks. So, you know what? If that happens, that'd be interesting to see. I just don't see it happening. As I just totally back and forth and flip-flop on whatever I just said. But the Odell Beckham thing, it's just hard to imagine how much they would give up for him if they would want to trade for him. Seeing his body language on the sideline, seeing that he's crying about not getting the ball. And we got a text here from the 415. Jimmy G played extremely sloppy and frankly was lucky he wasn't picked off 3 times. If they were playing against the Seahawks, it may have been a bloodbath. Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, I mentioned this.
Pro Football Focus, who's a very analytically driven publication. They do a lot of good work, and they really go down to the nitty-gritty when it comes to their grades. Jimmy Garoppolo was ranked toward the bottom in quarterbacks in their performance in week one, and kind of a surprise. And I'm going to rewatch this game just to see what he really did, because all he had was one assisted tackle, but ranked third in terms of grades for rookies, Javon Kinlaw. Javon Kinlaw was ranked third. Chase Young was ranked first, and I forgot who was ranked second. But Javon Kinlaw ranked third, even though he really didn't do much. So as far as the stats go, so I'd be interested to rewatch that game. And if you are too, watch what Javon Kinlaw does. See the impact that he might have made. All right, Kozlow and Dibs coming up next. Thanks for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.